Matthew 4, 23 through to 5, 12. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Let's pray. Father, as we come to your words, please show us again our need of the Lord Jesus, that we may rejoice in him as he announces the good news to us. And these things we pray in his precious name. Well, this morning, as we look at the Beatitudes, a look at this teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be addressing one of the most important questions that we can ever ask. And that question is, what sort of people does Jesus welcome into the kingdom? Who belongs in the kingdom? Who will inherit the kingdom? To be a footballer, a professional footballer, what sort of people be professional footballers? Well, they're very good at football. They're sportingly able. They work hard. If you want to be a writer, what sort of person can become a writer? Well, a talent with words and a willingness to work hard. And the list could go on. What sort of people can do this? What sort of people can enter here? What sort of people receive that sort of rewards? Well, we're going to ask the question this morning, what sort of people does Jesus welcome into his kingdom? Who will receive the kingdom? We're looking at this most famous of sermons, Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. But before we look at the opening couple of verses of this sermon, let's just have a think about what was been going on in the first four chapters of Matthew's Gospel. What has happened so far? Well, in short, Matthew tells us that the long-awaited and promised king has arrived. God had, in the Old Testament, promised a king who would bring in God's wonderful kingdom. And the early chapters of Matthew are about the arrival of this great saving king. Remember the Christmas story. The wise men come from the east. They came and they were looking for the one who was born king of the Jews. And Matthew, in the first four chapters, introduces the great saving king Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. And we begin to hear something of his program. We begin to see something of his holiness and his obedience. And we begin to see something of his power as well. We see that there at the end of chapter 4. We see what was drawing the huge crowds to him. There, Jesus is proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. You see, the promised king would destroy evil, would do away with sin and the effects of sin and death, and put things right. And so these huge crowds are coming to him. It's unsurprising, really, isn't it? Imagine today that someone up in Verulamium Park, a great man of God, all you need to do is to be touched by him and you will be healed. I think a huge number of people from around St. Albans and the district would be there waiting in the queue. As I walked down, I looked for people who I thought would want to be in the queue. And as I walked down through St. Albans, I saw a whole lot of people who are clearly sick. And you think, yes, many of us, myself included, would be in the queue. So these huge crowds are coming to Jesus. The king has arrived. His power is on display. And Jesus sees the crowds. And as he listens, as he sees them, he heads up onto a mountainside and sits down. His disciples come and he begins to teach. And he's going to teach them what it looks like to be in the kingdom and who will be in the kingdom and what blessings there are in the kingdom. He starts with the Beatitudes. Jesus describes for us the key characteristics of the people who will belong to the kingdom. Yes, the kingdom has arrived, and these are the sort of people who belong to the kingdom. Blessed, he says, are this sort of people, for they will receive this. 9 times we hear that. To be blessed means to be in God's favor. To be blessed means to have God's approval. To be blessed means to be on the receiving end of good things from God. To be blessed, those blessings. To be blessed means you're on the receiving end from God. And then he spells out what those blessings are at the end of the Beatitudes. You will be blessed if you are like this, and these are the great blessings. The key kind of blessing, which is on the outside here, which is in the first one and is in number 8. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to come. I'm going to bring in blessing here. And for those that are like this, you will receive the kingdom of heaven. And in fact, the other beatitudes, the other blessings, are all just part of being in the kingdom of heaven. So who are those who are blessed? Who belongs to the kingdom? What sort of people will receive the kingdom and all these blessings? Well, we're going to look at the first beatitude. We'll touch on the second as well. Blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those who mourn. The first key characteristic of the kingdom person is that they are poor in spirit. It is the poor in spirit who will receive the kingdom. It is those who mourn who will be comforted. What does that mean? What does Jesus mean when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit? What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Now, I don't think it's saying here that blessed are simply the poor. It's not saying simply blessed are the financially disadvantaged, though it's closer to that in Luke, but that's not what's being said here. What is he getting at? What is this poverty of spirit that is so vital that he puts first? What is this poverty of spirit? Well, it's helpful to go back into the Bible itself. Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. You see, David is speaking there, and he speaks of himself as this poor man. David, of course, would have great wealth at various stages in his life. But here, the poverty that he's speaking of is the poverty of need, of desperation, of needing God's help. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. Gives that idea of poverty being in need, and knowing you're in need. Isaiah 66. By the way, I think Isaiah forms a lot of the background to these Beatitudes. Isaiah 66 verse 2. Has not my hand made all these things, and so they came into being, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look on with favor. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and who tremble at my words. Humble, contrite in spirit. Recognize your poverty. Recognize your sin. Recognize your weakness. And this ties in, of course, I think, with the second beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn. Mourning here is not simply the mourning of those who have lost a loved one. We saw some very powerful images, didn't we, yesterday, of the mourning ones. But mourning in Isaiah is broader than mourning over at a funeral. Is the mourning and weeping over sin and its terrible effects that it's had on the people of God. Mourning is kind of weeping over God's judgment on the people and the exile. You see, to be poor in spirit, to mourn, is to know that we are sinful, that we have failed, that we are weak, and that sin has terrible consequences. It's to know that in our own strength we can't be the sort of people that we should be. We can't do the things that we should do. The poor in spirit says, I have sinned, I am weak. And Jesus says, it is the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is the entry point. It is to these people that the kingdom is given and the kingdom is announced. It's a vital entry point into the kingdom of God. I think it's just worth spending a few moments reflecting on why we might struggle with the whole disposition of being poor in spirit. Why we might not see ourselves as people who have sinned against God and are very weak. I think there are all sorts of reasons working against being poor in spirit, both in our culture and maybe even in our churches. Number one, I guess people might not be poor in spirit because they have never thought very deeply about their lives. They just do what they do, get on with living. If they feel bad about anything, and you know, well, we all make mistakes and we just get on. Maybe relationships break down. Well, relationships just break down. Maybe not be anything to do with me. Maybe just fill lives with distractions. And we never reflect on our own lives, on the way we have done things wrong. We just never take that time to reflect on the fact that we are not what we should be. Maybe another reason why we struggle with being poor in spirit is because we've been told that we need to have high self-esteem. That those negative thoughts about ourselves need to be pushed away. To get on, we need to have confidence. We need to love ourselves. We need to value ourselves. Have confidence in ourselves. Of course, there's something in that. We are all image bearers. We are of value in God's sight. We all have dignity. that people with very high self-esteem are not always easy to live with. If you're always pushing away thoughts of anything that's self-critical or criticism from others, that high self-esteem mindset, I can do, well, very often in the end we can't. And if we're just pursuing high self-esteem, well, it may cause us just not to reflect on the fact that we ourselves, there is something wrong with us. We do things that are sinful. We are weak. Maybe another reason we see ourselves, we don't value being poor in spirit or don't reflect on it deeply as we should, is that we see ourselves purely as victims. When we think of our lives, all we can think of is the wrong that has been done to us. The hardships that we've had to endure. And we may well have deep hardships. We may well have been treated really badly and hurt. And we need to help each other in those hurts. But equally, it is right that we have a sense that we too are prone to sin. We too are weak. I think there are other ways that people miss out on having poverty of spirit. There's a real danger in the church. People who name the Christ should all be marked by a poverty of spirit, but often it's lacking. Why? Well, I think the Sermon on the Mount will give us a clue. As Jesus speaks and begins to speak, he will have one eye on the Pharisees, and they will be excluded unless they change. You see, the Pharisees are marked by rigorous rule keeping. They were massively careful in keeping external religious rules, fasting, giving, dress code, attendance, study. And they looked down on others they perceived that were worse than them. And in their hearts, they were saying, basically, we are the people of God. We do religious things and we don't do terrible things. Their religion, their good works, their lack of gross immorality kept them from having a poverty of spirit. They couldn't see those inner sins. They were blind to their inner sins of pride and lust and greed. So we see here, it is important to have this poverty of spirit. It is a vital entry point to know that we are sinful, to know that we are weak. And it's foundational. Jesus says this is the key thing. And what does he do? What does he say to those who are poor in spirit? He announces to them that yours is the kingdom of heaven. He announces to them great news. Those who are broken, those who know their sin, those who know their weakness. He announces good news to the disciples. You, if you're poor in spirit, good news for you. And I want to very quickly just run across three aspects of that good news. Why there can be good news for those who are poor in spirit. Firstly, because poverty of spirit leads us to Jesus for forgiveness. As we listen to these words coming here on the page, we've got to remember that they came from the lips of the Lord Jesus. They were there listening to him, looking at Jesus. We must always keep our eyes on Jesus as we go through the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed is poor of the spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because of the one who speaks these words to them. Jesus, what does the name mean? It means Savior. The Lord saves. Do you know yourself to be a sinner? Do you know that you've done things wrong, said things that are wrong? The poor in spirit come to Christ and he announces to them, as we believe in him, that they are forgiven. You are forgiven. You come broken and he says the kingdom of heaven is yours because I forgive you. I win for you a wonderful forgiveness. It's wonderful good news he's announcing. They don't fully understand it, of course, at this point, because that they can only enter because of the work that he will do on the cross later in the gospel. You see, Jesus is announcing the good news to the poor in spirit. Yours is the kingdom of heaven, because he will die for us, because our sins will be forgiven. We will experience the comfort of forgiveness. Secondly, poverty of spirit leads us to look to the Holy Spirit for transformation. Jesus again announces good news. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You will be forgiven and you will be transformed. You see, poverty of spirit in part says, I can't do it. We're going to look at the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, and the bar is very high about dealing with sin, about the way we are to treat others, about trusting God. Well, again, let's look again at Jesus. He is the one who cleanses from sin, and he is the one we've already learnt is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. He will enable us, he will forgive us, and he will enable us to live in new ways. See, poor in spirit is being like a child at the beginning of a mountain walk. And you say to the child, you say to your 6 or your 7-year-old, we're going up there, as you point to the mountain. And the child says, I can't do that. That's too far. And you go, yep, on your own it is. But we are going to coax you. We are going to pull you. We are going to feed you. And if necessary, we're going to carry you. With our strength and our help, our presence, we will make it up that mountain. The child is poor in spirit, and so it is with us. We come knowing our sin, we come knowing our weakness, but the kingdom of heaven is yours. You will be forgiven, and by the Holy Spirit you will be transformed, you will be accepted, and you will lead new lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is announcing the good news to the weak. But I just want to make one other point quickly before we close. I want you to notice where, and we'll see this as we go through this sermon as a whole, that being poor in spirit brings us into that right relationship with Jesus, where he announces us the good news to us and we experience from him forgiveness and new life. But being poor in spirit also leads us to treat other people in a tender way. A lot of the Sermon on the Mount is to do with how we relate to others. And it is the poor in spirit that relates to others in ways that God, Jesus wants us to do. You see, the person who is proud and self-righteous relates to others in a very different way to those who are poor in spirit. When you are poor in spirit, you are humble with others. Jesus will go on to say, won't he? Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Those who are poor in spirit, having received mercy, knowing their own weakness, show mercy to others. It is a foundational quality. To be poor in spirit is a foundational quality in the kingdom. So if you come here this morning aware of your sinfulness, aware of your weakness, this morning know again, as you look to Jesus, that the kingdom is yours. That because of Christ, your sins have been forgiven and you've been given a new power to live. Know that you have been blessed by Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that he is to us. We thank you that the kingdom is given to and announced to people who are poor in spirit, who know their weakness and their sinfulness. We thank you for this glorious good news. Refresh us in it. Grant us your power to lead new lives this week. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's have a great song of repentance sung to us. as we reflect on what it means to come to Christ and to be saved and renewed by him. Stumbling, and to present before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.